Hello, everyone. Welcome to the ministry of Fruitland Baptist Church over the internet with a message that is for Sunday, the 20th of September of the year 2000. This is Pastor John. Nice to be with you folks again. Again, we don't know who's listening, but we're thankful if anyone is, and trust again that these messages are beneficial to you and that they are used for the edification of yourself and the glorification of God. And again, we're still in a mode here at Fruitland at this time of a Sunday school / prayer meeting on Sunday mornings, and morning worship at 10:40, the Sunday school and prayer meeting at 9:30. But be watching. We are having a meeting this Sunday night. We're a congregationally governed church, and there could be changes ahead. I don't know. We don't know, but be aware. We're glad to see you in person, and we're here to help people and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and bring Him glory. Well, our title today is "The Window is Open for Revival. Have you shut it?" So with that in mind, we're going to go to prayer, and then we'll begin this message. And again, welcome to everyone this evening. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, again, may you help us as we attempt to stay true to your word and to preach what you would have taught in the day that we live. We know that we are living in dynamic times, tumultuous times, very likely times that you are working your plan for the end times as you unwind the age and usher us into a period called the kingdom, where you'll reign right here in Jerusalem for 1,000 years and conclude some of the end times events from there on until, Lord, those of your family that have been saved, that have been born again, will be ushered into eternity future in the new heavens and new earth, never to revisit the remnants of sin and to enjoy forever being in your presence and in your glory. So, Father, we pray that this message might be used today of you to touch a heart. We know that your word never returns void, but it accomplishes the purposes that you have. And today I pray, Lord, that that purpose will be for someone to repent and to be restored into fellowship or enter into fellowship with you this day. Now, I ask your help as I bring forth the message, and that's a tough thing, Lord, and I'm vulnerable, I'm weak. But only through the power of the Holy Spirit and your upholding might it be delivered. So, Lord, we ask for results and trust you for the outcome. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, I am constructing this message on 9/11/20. Could I ask you a question that is personal about 9/11/2001? 19 years, if you calculate that. Yeah, you remember the day, don't you? Right. That was a big day in our modern era. For those of you that may be listening that are quite young, some of you may not remember the exact day, but you probably have heard about it. But you don't need to answer this question to me, but I'm going to give you the question. And I'd like you to do some introspection in your own life about this question. And here it is. Do you think that you have drawn closer to God since 9/11 or further from Him? Well, I'm going to answer that for myself. And so let me give you my personal answer. And the answer is yes. I've drawn closer and further away. And how I describe that is that I see His plan unfolding before my eyes. But along with that, I also have faced more challenges in my personal walk brought on by the very times that we live in, including such things as economics and cultural change, and a variety of other things that have taken place that, in my case, have sapped some of my energy and caused me to maybe at times, and probably you as well, to be overburdened and maybe even a little bit discouraged. But let me say this, God is a God of mercy and grace, but He's also a God of justice. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 is one place alone in Scripture among many that describes God's long-suffering with man. And I want to read that to you at this time. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10. Peter writes, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, I'm not going to break that down tonight, what I think that means, but the next verse is key here. is that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And let me just say this, he will come as a thief in the night to those that are not looking. But let me tell you today, Bible-believing Christian, and even if you are not saved today and you're listening to the sound of this message, you don't have to have him come as a thief in the night. You can know the season that he's coming. And I'm just going to say this, folks, I believe that very likely we are in that very season right now. But he's not slack, but he's long-suffering towards us, that people would come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Folks, this is a picture of God's impending judgment on this sin-cursed, sin-racked world that we live in. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I believe without fail, and this is proven from the Bible, that God always gives a warning of his impending actions, specifically his judgment on people and on nations. I don't have time to give you all the examples, but I'll give you a few here today. For instance, Noah. You remember when God judged the world in a worldwide flood, and only 8 souls were preserved. Noah preached for 120 years, the Bible says. Isaiah was prophesying what would happen to the nation of Israel, likely around 100 plus, a few years prior. I did a few calculations on that, and there's probably a scholar that has that pin clear down, but it's at least that long. And the prophet Jeremiah, for example, had at least 30 years of warnings that were given to the nation of Israel before and during God's judgment to turn around and repent. Well, God told Solomon at the completion of the temple that when he had to get people's attention through judgment, that his window to hear repentance and forgiveness was open. I'm thankful for that, my friends. I'd like to read today 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. And this again is at the completion of the temple, which Solomon was, by God's grace, able to do. His dad designed it and set the plans for it. God didn't allow David to do that, but he let his son Solomon. And so let's see what God told Solomon then at that completion. Verse 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer," and you can back up and see what Solomon's desire was, and God honored it. "I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," that is a very good illustration there in 13 of those 3 items that are talked about of judgment, and God did do that. Of course, we know the story, how that turned out. And then we see that classic verse. He says, if that happens, but there's a conditional clause here. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall first of all humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways," that sounds like what? Repentance, doesn't it? "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God's window is open, my friends. He's willing to hear our hearts as we turn back to him. And then verse 15, "Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." So God was willing and wanting to hear people get things set straight with him. It's clear that he leaves a window open at all times for repentance and revival, even up to the end of our lives. And then there is, that's by default, those decisions have been made. But in the day that we live, we have the ability to approach God through his window of access. Here in later times, I try to keep pretty good tabs on the news, and I think, again, everything that's going on today has great significance, and I personally believe it does have end times repercussions. But maybe some of you have heard about an author and pastor named Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who is a Messianic Jew, and in some of his books, he's written several, but the latest is called Harbinger 2. He had Harbinger 1 prior to that, which was just released earlier this month. He makes a compelling biblical case in his parallel between Israel and the United States in his interviews. I haven't read his books, but I have listened to a few of his interviews regarding 911 as a wake-up call for America, a window open for repentance and revival, which as a whole has not happened. Not yet, at least. And we saw that when that happened, people came back into the churches and they began to reconsider about what was going on, if this was the judgment of God or an impending wake-up call about that. But the interesting thing is, at least in my opinion, while there was a little blip of activity at that time, I think it's trailed off. That's my synopsis, anyway, of what's happened in the days since. And we've lost our fervor and just passed it off as another event, maybe still recognized with some special interest. And I could preach a whole message about that, too, and all the things that are behind that. But bottom line, I don't think that a lot has happened regarding revival in our nation. I think, honestly, it's gone the other way. But there's still an opportunity because God's window is still open. Well, let me just say this. I would not agree with all the tenets of Messianic Judaism, but I do believe that those folks are saved. But we are, not to belabor the point, but we still are in the New Testament church age today, and we're still looking forward to the restoration of Israel and the kingdom, and that America and the world are ripe for judgment, and many things appear to be lining up with end times events. The key is, I don't believe God shuts the window for repentance and revival. And it is indeed we who shut that window. God, and that's an important thing to remember, God promotes it, even in judgment, to open our eyes. And you can see that from Babylon. And we've been in Ezekiel here for a while. Even though Ezekiel was taken captive and he was in the first wave, he was talking to those people that were brought in captive. And he said, you can still repent. We can get right with God. And of course, we know a few did, a remnant, but he promotes, even in his judgment, for people to open their eyes before they are closed in death when repentance and revival are no longer valid or offered. Well, with that said, was 911 a wake-up call rejected largely? Well, the answer to that is I would say yes. I explained that earlier. Just a few other questions. Is Donald Trump prophetically our president? Yes, I believe he is. Now, that's not to say that he was put there for a thing that I can pick out exactly from Scripture. Some people, as you know, have compared him to Jehu, others to King Cyrus of Medo-Persia. I won't go that far, but I will say this. Because that could be, but I will say this, that there is no accident. There's never been a president of the United States that was there by the will of the voters, but it was really behind it, the will of God. And so, yes, he's there at a time that he is, and for a reason that God has. The other thing is, will America be judged for our sin, and are we? Well, it's pretty obvious to me that we certainly are deserving of it. And so the answer again is yes. And even Billy Graham said, you know, if God turns his back on what America's done, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we certainly know that we are in a position where we deserve judgment for our sin, the wickedness and the things that have gone on. You recall maybe that I preached a message earlier on the internet here where I've been led to think that America really maybe was ever only allowed to happen to see the rebirth of a nation called Israel, and that prophetic thing that took place in 1948. I think you could make a good case that America has been on decline ever since then, as it's turned its back on God post-World War II and has accomplished what God had for it. So with that said, will the things that Jonathan Cahn has predicted happen? And I'm going to give you a definite maybe on that, but we'll see. But let me just assure us of this, the point of our message, God's window is still open, and it's open yet today for the good news of the gospel. Every person and every nation is faced with a choice to, first of all, seek God. Now, we're going to look at a few little points here, and the fact of the matter is that we'll find in this scripture, we're called by God to seek him with all our heart. Let me just reference today Deuteronomy 4:39, which says the following. Know therefore this day, God says to Israel, and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else, none else. And then Jeremiah 29:13, God says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there it is, just a couple of references there that we are to be seeking God, first of all. Deuteronomy 6:4 through 5 say this, and this is the second little sub-point of that. First of all, we need to be seeking God, but we also need to know God and love him. And Deuteronomy 6:4 through 5 say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And so we are to explore and to understand and to know God so that we may love God. And when we know him and understand his benevolence toward us, we are able to love him because, as it says in the New Testament, we love him because we understand that he first loved us. Third little sub-point there, we need to seek God, we need to know and love God, but we also need to serve God. And 1 Samuel 12:24, and let me just say there's a lot of verses that we could use here, but I used a few. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Have you seen the commonality here in all these passages? With all of our heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. And then lastly, God wants us to return back to him. There's the word repentance. And repent, turn around is what that means. Joel, the prophet Joel, in chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Joel was one of the very earliest prophets, and he was one of the first that talked about the day of the Lord, about the events of the end times. But Joel 2, 12 through 13 say, Therefore also now saith the Lord, Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. What God's saying is, recognize your sin, your transgression against God, confess your sin, and be restored. And ask for God's help to see that conquered in your life, the desire for it. And what he's talking about there is we ought to really be sorry about our sins, and truthfully, not just in lip service, but to be broken before God as we understand the seriousness of what we've done, and it, not only personally, but as a nation. And I'm going to be preaching some on this here in the morning services. You'll hear it. But I'll tell you what, folks, America, 65 million babies aborted, homosexual marriage endorsed, legalized. You go right down the line. In fact, I've got 25 points for this coming Sunday morning. Well, the message then is entitled, Do You Believe the Lie? And there's 25 lies that I'm going to give us that Satan has brought upon America that people listen to. But folks, God wants us to turn even to him with all our hearts and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning and rend your heart, not your garments. You know, in the Old Testament, they tore their garments when they put on signs of repentance, threw dirt on their heads and went in sackcloth and in ashes. God says, well, that's fine as a sign outwardly, but what's really important is that you tear your heart because of these things have happened and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is, and hear this, he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, or that word in the King James could be better translated, of the calamity or the impending judgment that's going to be brought upon. God can change his mind if we change our mind about that. And so that certainly is his prerogative, but we know that apart from we doing our part in that, he will not. Well, along with that, it's good to read the book of Joel, but chapters 2 and 3 is an early prophecy, like I said earlier, the coming day of the Lord, which is the translation or rapture of the church to the new heavens and new earth, the establishment of the new heavens and new earth, and Israel in particular. And so read it for yourselves. Joel is directed particularly toward Israel, of course. Well, let me just say this as we move toward the end here. I agree with Jonathan Kahn. We are likely in that season, especially as we read in the book of Joel, verses 28 through 31. So let me get back to the book of Joel here. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 31. And I'm going to read those verses to you. But I want to especially look at 32 when we get done with 31. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward, these will ring home with us here today, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He's talking here about the approaching, impending day of the Lord, that period. I believe today, obviously, that as of today, we recognize more than we did yesterday in God's prophetic timetable. We can see many of these things that already have come to pass, but that are really, literally coming to pass right in front of our eyes. By the way, folks, I'll comment on this too. This peace thing that's been settled here with the United Arab Emirates and I think it's Bahrain. You know what? And Donald J. is promoting that, but folks, let me tell you, that falls right in line, and I'm not saying this is that event, but it could be the start of it, whereby the Antichrist is set up and there's a peace declared that's a false peace. You want to be watching for these kind of things, and I believe there is some of that prophecy that's revealed in our current day. It's already been foretold, but it becomes clear. And also that the servants upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Jason is here helping me record this today, and we just talked a little before we did this. Isn't it and I forgot the term I use for this now, but we see the south being hit by hurricanes and the west burning up with fire. I'm not laughing about that, but folks, what we've seen happening here in later years, even in the phenomenon of the weather events, I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility that God's using that as more wake-up calls and the things that are taking place, the pandemic all along the way here. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Well, I'm not saying that this is the fires, but interestingly enough, the sun looked pretty red last night when it was going down, and the moon, or the sun looked pretty dark, I should say, and the moon looked pretty red. So, you know, we don't know, but these things do seem to become quite clear. But let me also reference along with that verse 32, because this is the key today to this message. And it shall come to pass, God told Joel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Saved is what delivered means. If you ever wondered what saved means, it means delivered. Delivered from the destruction of hell and from the wages of sin. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance or salvation, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. See, God's window is still open even in these times that we live in today. Still open, that the window is open right up to the end, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved. And so we saw that there. And that's a message specifically to Israel. But yet it is given to us today generally because we find the same thing in the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 10, 13. So until God closes the window in the day that those that reject the gospel in the church age, which is now, and are deceived by the spirit of Antichrist, we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians here briefly, until God closes the window, we are the ones that close it. And so today, if we say, well, as it also says, the Apostle Peter says, people are scoffers in the last days. They say, well, it's all been going on before. Well, you know what? Maybe they'll be wrong this time because God's grace is so overwhelming. But you know what? They might just be wrong this time too, that this is the time that God's going to act and work his program. Now here's a warning as we come down to a close from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. And let me get over to there now. I actually marked my Bible today so we could go through this quickly. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about the day of the Lord, and of course, Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica about this. I may have preached part of this in a message before, but understand that the deceiver, we're going to learn about him Sunday morning, Satan, he is the one that plants the seed of unrighteousness in people. And so verse 10 says, And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, in other words, those that have chosen to resist the grace of God and have made a choice to die in hell. That's what perish means, to die eternally. And here's how they made that decision because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They closed the window. They said, nope, I don't want anything to do with the Lord. And so his window's open, but I'm closing it because I'm rejecting him. Folks, that's talking about people right now in the age of grace. By the way, God's always been gracious, but we are in the church age, which is the age of whosoever will. Just what we read earlier, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. So we go on here in verse 11 and understand this, and for this cause, because people have said the window's shut, God shall send them strong delusion, and they're going to continue to believe a lie. God forbid that you're in that position today, because it's still not too late. The window's open. But one day God's going to shut that window, and then what happens follows in verse 12, that they might all be damned, or the word judged or condemned, who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I've had a lot of people argue about that. And I think it bears us all taking a hard look at that, because there will be people saved in the tribulation period. We know that. The Bible speaks of that. But I think what those verses specifically mean that we saw there is that people that have closed the window on God, when they've heard the gospel, will not have another chance, even if they survive parts or any of the tribulation, because they, again, have had their hearts closed after they closed the window by God. Folks, God forbid anyone that hears this message today would be in that position. When our hearts get hard, we are in big trouble with God, because just like with Pharaoh, Pharaoh started by hardening his heart, but following, God hardened his heart. So be very careful about that today. If you haven't heard anything else today, realize the window's open and you're the one that's going to shut it. But when you shut it and you rejected God, you may be under the threat of that delusion being sent to you, if indeed these are those last days. Anyway, a stern warning there about what the word of the Lord says. Well, as I said, God forbid that this is someone today that we're talking about. God's window is still open for repentance, and it's still open for a revival in our day. I still think that's possible. I happen to agree with Jonathan Kahn. He thinks there can be both judgment and revival at the same time. I think that's possible with God. It may not be a revival like we've seen classically through the ages, when the Spirit of God moved among the people in a way where there were dynamic amounts of people and the culture was changed. But you know what? Even if one soul is rescued and has revived, God has accomplished, again, his will, if that's to be the case. In that very thing. And you know, that could be someone listening today that is going to be touched by that. Only you and the Lord know. But anyway, the window's open unless you close it. Where has your relationship to God been headed since 9/11? I'd like to hear some feedback on that. And if Jonathan Kahn is right with some of the, and these are biblical parallels that he draws, the 19 years, interestingly enough, that goes back to some biblical events that took place in 605 when Nebuchadnezzar whacked Israel with a warning. And 19 years later, he came back and Israel was conquered, was taken into captivity. And that doesn't mean that that's the case, but, you know, it doesn't mean it's not either. So we better be on our toes, because maybe he's right about those prophetic things. And time will tell, but I know this, that today, as we learned earlier, is the day, and now is the time once again to be saved and to have your heart revived in the Lord Jesus Christ if you have been saved but have backslidden. What effect, again, have God's warnings had on you? Today is the day, and now is the time. Don't put it off. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that this message will be used by you, that, Lord, those that will be saved and that have been called by you will receive your salvation or will repent, if the case may be. And, of course, if they've not been saved, that they will repent and realize the gravity of their sin and turn around and call upon your name and receive you again, Lord, the gift that you've given. Trust you, believe on you, and that their lives will be transformed and that they will be made new, a new creature in Christ through the blood of the Lamb. And then, Lord, the prayer goes up also for those that maybe have been born again for a while and have lost their fervor, have slidden backwards, the salt has become less salty. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them renewal and a zeal once again to walk closely with you and to see the wash-up that needs to take place, brought under the blood of the Lamb once again and recognized. It's already been forgiven for the believer, but that we'll recognize it once again and confess and be cleaned up, Lord, with you and walk with you aright. And again, that we'd be revived and have a zeal for you in the days to come. Now, Lord, we are thankful that you have not left us without some pointers about the days that we potentially are living in. And we understand, Lord, that your judgment is also a righteous judgment, but your grace is a loving grace of an open window toward mankind. God forbid today, Lord, that someone shut that window. Now, Lord, we ask you to work in the hearts of the hearers, including mine, and we'll give you the thanks and praise in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.